Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you for this privilege of being able to bring the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ to all, dear Heavenly Father, and especially here at Good Shepherd Baptist Church. And Lord, I just thank you for the men and women who come out here today looking for a word from heaven to start the year off with, Lord, something that will give us a little bit of jump start to get our minds focused on you, Lord, so that we might be able to know the scriptures and that we might be able to trust and believe in the power of God. And Lord, I just pray that with all that I have and with all that's within me, that the name of Jesus is lifted up, that hearts are challenged, minds are changed, and souls are saved. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen. If you would, please, turn your Bibles. Psalm 73. Now, we're going to go through verses 1 through 28, but we're going to do it in a very succinct manner. But this is one of those passages that you can't just tear a verse out. Well, I won't say you can't. But in this particular instance, I believe that the Lord wants us to hear the whole psalm. We're not going to read the entire psalm, but I want you to get your minds focused on this entire psalm, because we will touch on all of it during the course of our scripture today, in the course of our teaching today. And it reads, Psalm 73, verses 1 through 3. And it reads, truly, God is God. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, doers, and hearers of his word. Amen. He says, the writer of the psalm says, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And he's going to tell you in these passages, he says, my steps well nigh slipped. Think about this. These are going to be your key verses. You can write those down, 1 through 3, 17 and 28. We'll get to those other ones in a little bit. Think about this, if you will. You've seen it on TV, and you see these guys, these rock climbers. They got the things on their hands, and they go up this, they scale sheer walls, and they scale them pretty much with their bare hands and their feet. And every once in a while, you'll see where he kind of swings off, and he's hanging by one hand, but he's still hanging on. But he's only hanging on by one hand because he's lost his footing. In this passage is a psalm by Asaph. And Asaph and David wrote most of the psalms. And the thing I like about psalms, it's the book of psalms, it's there. They're just speaking to the everyday man. It speaks to every situation of every man's heart at some point in time. This is why when people tell you that Christians should only have joy, 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 and never get depressed, they haven't read the Psalms. Christians go through some stuff that will hurt you, that will depress you, but look what he says in verse 2. He says, I almost slipped. And he almost slipped because he looked out like some of us do. And he saw the foolish and the wicked just getting over by like fat rats and just prospering. If not financially, health-wise, you see people who take every drug in the book. No problem. You read in the newspaper, somebody did something one time, and he's gone. One time, and he's gone. Asaph is saying, he starts off in verse 1, he says, I know God is good to Israel. I know that. I know that. And I want everybody here to start off with that. God is good. God is good, and God is good all the time. I know that. But every now and again, and I want you to mark in your Bibles this, I want you to mark from verses 1 through 12. I want you to title that as the outward look, verses 1 through 12, the outward look, verses 13 through 16, the inward look, verses 17 through 28, the upward look. 1 through 12, outward look. 13 through 16, inward look. 17 through 28, upward look. Right now we're in the outward look, and we see the focus of the reader, the focus of the writer, is he's looking around at his surroundings. And his mind is focused on, well, what about this guy? And what about that guy? And again, this is the thing about the Psalms that's so wonderful. It speaks to the heart of every man. Because we all, at some point, we say, why am I working so hard in receiving what appears to be so little? And why is this person over here and he's foolish and he's wicked? And who am I to judge? If you can't tell foolish and wicked, you're in trouble. The Bible says you're supposed to judge. Otherwise, you're going to end up marrying a fool. And then you'll be saying, oh, Lord, help me. When he said, I told you to judge everything. You're looking at this foolish person. You're looking at this wicked person. You're saying, why are they prospering? Because your focus is outward. Your focus is outward. He goes through this litany of things that the wicked do. He said, the wicked, there's no end to their wickedness. Stop and think about this for a minute, y'all. TV, movies, music. Who do we glorify? Pop music, popular movies, popular TV. My goodness, we have a TV show called Lucifer. Who do we glorify? We got a TV show called Empire. Who do we glorify? We got movies on top of movies. We got songs on top of songs talking about beating women, doing. Who do we glorify? And not only do we glorify, who gets paid for it? The wicked. And oftentimes what's really sad is who pays them? The righteous. Because there's something about wickedness. When you put wickedness to a really good beat, it sells, boy. It sells. I was watching a thing last night on PBS, and they're talking about Little Richard. And when I was growing up, I know some of y'all young folks, y'all know Little Richard. You halfway know James Brown. But Little Richard, oh, bop, 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 bam, boom, wow, whoa. And this man, oh, when he got up there, ooh, I mean, your foot just took off. You couldn't help it. And the man was wicked. The man wrote some wicked songs, and it made him a lot of money. You got the new boys out there today. You got Jay-Z. You got all these folks, and their songs are wicked. And you can't get around it. But oh, is the beat good? Is the rhythm good? Does the rhythm make you move? You better believe it makes you move. And so the psalmist is here. He's saying that he had his equivalent during that day of what we have here today. People who are getting over. And that's not to say that everybody who makes money or who does well is wicked. Because obviously, we pray and ask God to give us some money. So it's not that. But the fact of the matter is that these folks are prospering and they have little or are nothing to do with God. Verse 6 in Psalm 73, he says, and therefore pride compass them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Pride. He said, they're so lifted up in pride. There was a young lady, I can't recall her name, and I wouldn't recall it for you if I did, but I can tell you this. She was a commentator on ESPN. Now, that's getting up there, y'all. That's getting up there in tall cotton. That's pretty good stuff. And she was having a, right now she's having these problems with anxiety because she was riding high. She was filled with pride. But what happened was somebody caught her on tape berating another lady and basically saying, don't you know who I am? Don't you know who I am? I'm somebody. Well, it went viral because she was very nasty, very mean to the other lady. She was riding high today, and then the next day, all of a sudden, she's an enemy of everybody online. She was lifted up in pride because she had no fear of anybody. She was making it. She was making big money, y'all, and now she's about to lose her mind. See, when we're looking outward at the wicked, we don't really get the big picture. We keep thinking that when people are doing wrong, when people are living in sin, and I know that's one of those really bad three-letter words. People are living, I mean dwelling, I mean purposing to just stay in sin. We think they're getting over on God. We really, in our heart of hearts, just like Asaph. Asaph said, I was climbing up this rock cliff, and I was doing okay, and then all of a sudden I lost my footing, because I was looking outward. Instead of looking where I'm supposed to be taking care of my business, I'm looking outward, and I see these other people who just don't want nothing to do with God. In fact, not only do they don't want nothing to do with God, they tell me I'm foolish because I believe there's a God up in heaven and I believe there's a Jesus who's going to come back and call his people unto himself. That's a fairy tale. Man, get real. Isn't that what they tell you? Get real, man. Get real. And Asaph says, I looked at this. And I looked at how corrupt they are. In verse 8, he says, I looked at how corrupt they are. And I looked at how they speak so wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily in their mouth. Verse 9, they set their mouth against the heavens and their tongue walketh through. Anything that they feel like saying about God, they say it. And they don't care who's around, who's... A gentleman got stabbed to death, four or five days ago, got stabbed to death because he was in the store with his wife, buying Christmas gifts for his kids, and these two boys had some vile music going, and they had it going loud. And the man asked him to turn it down because he's there trying to shop for his kids, and his kids are with him, and they killed him. You hear me? They killed him because he said, would you please have some respect? Would you please not be so ostentatiously rude? And his reward was they killed him. Asaph is saying, how do these people prosper, God? How do they get away with it, God? I don't know the man who got killed, but I don't believe he deserved to die over asking somebody to turn down the radio. But it happens, and it happens more frequently than we'd like to think. Verse 11. Verse 11 reads, this is what the wicked say when they're doing what they're doing. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? This is why we, as Christians, this is why we have to learn the scriptures and know the power of God. Because when the wicked are flourishing, they'll look you straight in the face and they'll say to you, this God you're talking about, I'm getting ready to smack you upside your head. Where is he? I'm getting ready to take all your money. Where is he? Does he know? Does he really care about you? If your God is so powerful, why do I have more money than you have? If your God is so powerful, why do I have a bigger house than you have? If your God is so powerful, why can't I go wine and dine and do whatever I want, and I'm alive. Don't have to go to the hospital. In fact, I go to the gym. I stay fit. What about this God you're talking about? This is what Asaph is saying, y'all. This is what's really getting me. He goes, and I almost lost my footing because I'm thinking you got to love God. You got to serve God. You got to come to church. You got to come to Sunday school. You got to come to Wednesday night. This is what I'm thinking. But all the while that I'm thinking this, I'm looking outward. And I'm saying, but he's not. And she's not. So maybe why should I? That's what goes through our mind. Hey, I'm doing fine without God. I mean, you know, I pray to him, you know, and I give him a little tip every once in a while. I'm okay, you know, but why go through all that other stuff? Why go through that Sunday school, that Wednesday night? Why go to church? I mean, come on, man, that's a bit much. And Asaph, after he looks outward, then he decides, maybe I need to look inward. Verses 13 through 16. He has looked out at the wickedness, and then he says, let me examine myself. The Bible says, examine yourself. He says, verse 13, verily I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. When he says, I've cleansed my heart in vain, you know what he's saying, y'all? This whole church thing is just a waste of time. This whole evangelism thing, it's just a waste of time. I could be out there making some more money. I could be out there having a bigger party. I could be out there, man, don't you know the Cowboys come on at noon? And you got me sitting up here in church like it's important? I told you the psalm speaks to us like we speak to ourselves. He says, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all, verse 14, for all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I shall offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. He said, I wanted to tell people about you, Jesus. I wanted to talk to folks about you. But you know what? I haven't found a good enough reason to, because they're doing better than I am. And to tell you the truth, I haven't fallen off yet. He said, but my foot is slipping. My foot is slipping. I could save me some gas money not coming over here to church. And Lord knows, this morning when I woke up, my 45-year-old self said, get up. My 65-year-old self said, go back to bed. Y'all can do fine without me. Hey, and I can do fine without you. Because when I think about it, I'm like, man, you know, you could be out here making some money. You could be out here traveling. You could be doing this. You could be. And Asaph is saying, this is how I feel, God. God, I just want you to know how I feel, because I feel like I'm wasting my time. I feel like I'm doing it all for nothing. And my evidence is, look at them. Look out. Don't look in. Look out. You want evidence as to how stupid this is for us to be up here? Just take a look outside. Just take a look outside. We have 40, maybe 50 in here. Jerry's got 92,000 at Jerry's World, AT&T Stadium, 92,000. And not only does he have 92,000, only a handful of them are getting money. The rest of them paid. Minimum ticket, $200 for the nosebleed. Why am I in here? This is insanity. That's reasonable. When I look out and when I look in, that makes sense to me. That makes sense to you. I should be doing something else. I'm looking out here at one of our young ladies. She just caught my eye. She plays soccer. Don't you know you could be out practicing today getting better? I mean, come on. You could be out. She's already good. She could be out practicing. Somebody could be studying for, we got exams coming up. Somebody could be studying. You could be doing all these things. And that's why Asaph is saying, why me? Why me? Why me? I've done everything I'm supposed to do. Mom and daddy told me to do this, and I did it. The teacher told me to do this, and I did it. And the preacher told me to do this, and I did it. And now I did it. And look, what do I got to show for it? Why me, God? Why me? My friends keep getting sick. My family members keep dying. Why me? So when you're feeling like that, don't forget, there's nothing new under the sun. Asaph felt like that a long time ago, and he put pen to it, and the Holy Spirit preserved it so that you and I could look at it. But he started off with the outward look, looking out at everybody else. I will say he did start with verse 1 by understanding. Verse 1, he said, I do understand that God, what did he say? He said, God is good. He said, even to those who are of a clean heart. He says, I know that much about God, but God, I'm just kind of questioning you because I'm looking out and I don't see anything good going on. And I'm looking in and I'm losing ground. I'm about to lose my grip. I'm about to lose my grip because it's not good, God. But oh, thank God. Thank God for the scriptures, for the holy scriptures that God inspired men to write. When I get to verse 17, and in verse 17, he changes his focus from outward, from inward, to upward. Don't miss that, church. In verse 17, he changes his focus to upward. That's what we need as a church. That's what we need as a Christian community. We spend too much time looking out at the world and thinking they're getting it. They're making it. They're doing all right. And then we look at me and it was, oh, po, pitiful me. Why me? But Asaph said, I got a cure for you. I got a cure. He says, look up. Verse 17. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou cast them down into destruction. He said, when I was looking out, I couldn't get the full picture. He said, when I was looking in, I couldn't get the full picture. He said, but when I came into the sanctuary of God, when I came in to spend some time with God, when I came in to sit down, to go into my closet and spend some time with God, he says, that's when God opened my mind. God opened my mind. And God said, look at you, boy. You're looking at stuff temporal. You're looking at stuff that's going to be here today and gone tomorrow. And he says to him, He goes, I mean, it's like, it's one of those aha moments. You know when you're sitting there and this lets you know that you're getting old. Okay. I asked my wife, "Where are my glasses? Where are my glasses?" I'm running around the house looking for my glasses. Where are my glasses? And then all of a sudden, usually she finds them, but then every now and again, I look around hanging on my shirt. There's my glasses. ASAP is having an aha moment. He was down, y'all. He was depressed. This is not a minor thing. This is not something that a nilly-willy thing. This is something that he had been contemplating for a while. He was depressed, but then he went into the sanctuary of God. And when he spent some time with God, he said, "Now I got it. Now I understand. God, you set them in this position. And you set them in this position to give them an opportunity to get right. To give them an opportunity to do the things that you want them to do. But if they don't, you will cast them down into destruction." I thought a loving God would never do that. That's what people would always tell me. But that's because you do err, because you don't read the scriptures and you don't know the power of God. He said, "God, you will cast them down for turning away from you. You will cast them down for oppressing the poor. You will cast them down for running to shed innocent blood. You will do that, God." And until I spend some time with God, I can't get that. I can never understand that, because from an outward view and an inward view, God's people are getting the short end of the stick. But when I go into the sanctuary, when I spend some time with God, and he goes on here, he says, verse 19, "How are they brought? God, how are you going to bring them to desolation? As in a moment, they are utterly consumed with tears. Riding high in April, shot down in May." Because they thought they had it going on, y'all. Don't forget, they're looking at you and making joke out of you. You're making joke out of God's people. But you know what? You've seen them. I've seen them. We don't get to see all of them, but we do see some of them where their life, and Lord help them if they ever turn against, like the folks in Hollywood, if you ever decide you want to change your mind about something, oh, it's over, and it's over fast. It's over fast. And in the wicked, there's no true camaraderie among the wicked. And God says right here, Asaph says, "God, you're gonna bring a tear on them that they've never had before, and it's gonna come in a moment." I tell you what, one of those tears is, as good as they're feeling right now, because they're human and because God put it in us, they know they're going to die. They know they're going to die. Isn't it a wonderful thing? And they try to find all kinds. They even freeze themselves, y'all. Come on, man. Come on, man. You're going to put yourself in a freezer. Y'all think I'm making this up? It's called cryogenics. Y'all think I'm making it up? I'm not making it up. People who are so scared to die, and because they think they evolved, they think that they kind of came, they're going to freeze themselves in the hope that somebody will come along later with a cure for whatever it is they have and unthaw them. And then they'll die. Because God said, it's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. Asaph says, "God," verse 20, "as a dream when one awake, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image." He's saying, this is a word for all those who don't know God. This is a word for those who have rejected the free gift of salvation. See, God went through a lot. He has gone through a lot to save us. He has sent his only son
as a sacrifice for you and for me, so that we don't have to live with that terror, so that we don't have to, our foot doesn't have to slip, so that we can be welcome in the sanctuary of God. He sent his son, Jesus, so that we might, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, don't you know that this terror that Asaph is talking about, don't you know the good news is that God said you'll never, ever, ever have to deal with that terror. He says, because when you come into the sanctuary of God and you understand who I am, and when you understand what I've done for you, and you understand what I'm going to do for you and with you, you'll get a peace. You'll get a peace that surpasses understanding. You'll get a peace. A lady was talking last night. She gave her testimony. She said, I had to go for open heart surgery. She said, I thought I just had a pain in my side. Next thing I know, they're doing open heart surgery. She said, but you know what? Instead of getting scared about the open heart surgery, she started praising God because he gave her a side ache. Who would think that there's something wrong with your heart just because you got a side ache? But she got a side ache. God gave her a side ache, y'all. God gave her a side ache. So when she went to the ER, they've checked and said, ain't nothing wrong with your side, but you need a heart surgery. That's God, y'all. We be thinking, oh, woe is. No. That's God. And when you go, she said, when they told me what all I needed, and I thought about how it all started with a side ache, she goes, I got perfect peace in the Lord. Perfect peace. Would you like to have that, church? You can have that, church. Come into the sanctuary. Stop looking out at the wicked and the foolish. Stop looking in and saying, oh, woe is me. Why me? Why me? Go into the sanctuary. Come into the sanctuary and look up. Look up and see what God has in store for you. Going on down through verses, I'm working my way down to verse 28. When he's looking up, he sees where, verse 23, nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. He says, when I went to the sanctuary, and I told you, he said he almost slipped. He nigh on slipped. But after he went to the sanctuary, that's when he discovered that you can't slip because God's got a hold to your right hand. You can't fall. He says, unto him who's able to keep us from falling. You cannot fall with God holding your right hand. And he says in verse 24, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterwards, guide me with your counsel. That means day by day, step by step, moment by moment, if you'll come into my sanctuary, the only reason you don't have wisdom, you have not, because you ask not. Because God says, I give it to you liberally. And he goes, you'll guide me. You'll guide my steps while I'm here. And after I leave here, when I close my eyes for the last time, I don't know when it's going to happen for me. You don't know when it's going to happen for you. But I guarantee you, it's going to happen. But he says, after you close your eyes for the last time, ASAP, the one who knew God, he said, I can see where you have promised to receive me up into glory. Church, let your mind just kind of go for a little bit. Think about Genesis. Think about, it says, in the beginning, God did something big. He did something huge. He created the heavens and the earth. He did it all in 6 days. He created every creature here. He gave us sight. He gave us vision. He gave us feet. He gave us everything. And guess what? I think, you know, the whole thing that just destroys evolution is the fact that when we got here, there was food. Wow. And water. Oh, my goodness. And it just happened to coincide when we get here. But think about, this is something that God did that was so huge. He created everything. Everything. And but look at what Asaph is saying. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. Look at what Asaph is saying. When I close my eyes for the last time, you're going to take my hand. You're still controlling the whole world. You're still controlling the whole universe. But you're going to take time out for me? Oh, man. And that promises to everybody here. Don't you know when you close your eyes for the last time, God himself, that's what he says right here, will receive you into glory. Oh, praise be to God. God is so concerned about me. God is so concerned about you. And look at what Jesus said. Look at what Jesus said he'd do. Here's scripture. He says, Asaph says he's going to receive us into glory. But guess what? His son, whose name I have believed on, guess what he said? He said, when you get here, it's just like whenever I would go to my parents' home, I would go to 1998 Wadsworth Road because that was my parents' house. Jesus said, when you get here, I got a house waiting on you. Oh, man. Oh, man. Wait a minute. For me? For you. He said, I got a mansion. I made a place specifically for you. And he said, I want you to hold me to this. If it wasn't true, I wouldn't tell you. Because then he'd have to lie. God can't lie. So what I'm saying, instead of looking outward, instead of looking inward, why don't we do some looking upward? And don't forget this. In verse 27, for lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. The purpose of God allowing Asaph to have this upward look is not so he could look at the wicked and say, na 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 na. It's so that you and I can look at our wicked friends, our wicked siblings, our unsaved aunties, uncles, cousins. See, the reason he's showing you this and he's showing me this, because in the scriptures, he says, I wish that none should perish. But if you think they got it going on, if you're looking outward and to all the world, it appears like they got it. They got the world by the tail, y'all. They got it. You will never, ever, ever have enough nerve to tell them about Jesus. Because they're going to laugh at you. They're going to laugh at you because they're going to say, do you know what I have? Don't you know I can buy and sell you and have money left over? Don't you know that? But what you can tell them is what you don't know is that you are set for destruction. And I know it because I've been in the sanctuary. And God has spoken his word. And I know the scriptures are true. And I know the scriptures will be fulfilled. They can't be broken. And so therefore, God shows you this. He shows you the fragility of their stance. You think Asaph thought he was almost slipping, but now he understands they're going to slip. So when God shows us those things, he's saying, now that you know the end of your friend, your auntie, your uncle, your cousin, your son, your daughter. He says, now that you know, and you know for certain because the scriptures are God's way of communicating to us. He goes, if it's written, it will be done, whether you like it or not. So when we see something, let that prompt us. I've looked out, I've looked in, and now I'm looking up and I'm saying, Lord, I have friends and I have family members. They don't know right now what situation they're in. Will you give me enough love for them, enough compassion for them, and take away the fear from me of being a witness? And in verse 28, you see the conclusion. You see the close of what Asaph, this is what Asaph, after all this soul searching, all this outward looking, all this inward looking, and now this upward looking, we see the conclusion of what Asaph has come to. Verse 28. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Three things, write it down. This is the conclusion. This is the summary of it all. In verse 28, draw near, have faith in God, and tell all. Draw near to God, have faith in God, and tell all. See, when you get the big picture, you understand that's what this gospel message is all about. And then when you say, you may start off with saying, why me? Woe is me. Why is everybody doing so much better than me? But after you come into the sanctuary, you walk out with a whole different mindset. You come out the sanctuary and say, you read about where Jesus hung, bled, and died, and rose from the dead so that I could have eternal life. It makes me ask, why me? Why would you do that for me? It changes your focus, church. But you got to come into the sanctuary of God. You have to stop looking outward, stop looking inward, and start looking upward. Why me? God bless you.